Welcome to the Deep Dive, your shortcut to being well-informed. We try to pack in surprising facts, maybe a little humor too. Today, we're plunging into a topic that, well, it touches every organization, every team, probably every job you've ever had, actually. Leadership and management. You know, we often use these words almost interchangeably, don't we?
We do, very often.
But our sources today are pretty clear. There's a crucial difference. And understanding that distinction, it isn't just academic jargon. It's incredibly practical. Imagine someone, let's call her Sarah, brilliant product manager, just got promoted, leading a new, really critical initiative. Diverse team, tight deadlines, high stakes.
A familiar scenario for many.
Totally. So as we unpack everything today, how decisions get made, scientifically or, you know, intuitively, and the different leadership styles, autocratic through to situational, keep Sarah in mind. How might she navigate? What style works best when? This deep dive is really about equipping you with that kind of nuanced understanding.
And what's really fascinating here, I think, is that while they are distinct, leadership and management, they are both absolutely foundational. You need both for an organization to really thrive. It's not just about knowing what you need to do. It's about how you influence people, how you guide them, develop them even to hit those big goals.
Right.
So this dive, it goes beyond just definitions. It's about the real world implications for you, whether you're leading a team like Sarah or maybe just observing dynamics in your workplace. By the end, you'll definitely have a clearer picture of what makes leaders and managers effective and crucially, why there's no single magic bullet approach.
Okay. So let's cut right to it. This fundamental distinction. We all sort of feel there's a difference between a manager and a leader. But what is it exactly, according to our sources? When we talk management, we're essentially discussing the process, right? Hitting organizational goals by efficiently using the resources you have.
Making the machine run smoothly. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. And the core functions are laid out.
Mm-hmm.
Planning, organizing, controlling, problem solving. You know, setting the course, getting the resources in place, monitoring progress, fixing things when they break.
Standard operating procedure in a way.
Exactly. But then leadership.
Yeah.
That pivots. It's much more about the human element. The definition is around influencing, inspiring, genuinely motivating people towards shared goals.
Less about the cogs, more about the crew's spirit.
Precisely. Leaders are often described as visionary. They focus on the why. They spark creativity, build trust, build loyalty, and importantly, they're invested in developing their people.
Which is a huge factor in retention and engagement.
Absolutely. So back to the analogy. The manager keeps the ship on course, makes sure it has supplies. The leader inspires the crew to want to make the voyage, to believe in reaching that destination.
Yeah, that analogy really nails it. And if we broaden that perspective, our sources show management focusing on processes, resources, systems, the operational scaffolding. Mm-hmm. Leadership, though, it zeroes in on people, vision, motivation, the why. And their decision-making styles often reflect this. Managers lean towards data, structure, analysis.
Makes sense. Very logical.
Right. Whereas leaders might be more flexible, adaptive, maybe even inspirational in their approach, often guided by that bigger, long-term picture.
So different tools for different goals, almost.
In a way, yes. And the approach itself differs, too. Management is often about controlling, planning, supervising, ensuring tasks get done efficiently. Leadership, more empowering, coaching, mentoring, fostering growth.
And where does their influence come from?
Good question. For managers, it often stems from their formal authority, their position. For leaders, it's more about personal influence, charisma, that ability to connect.
Got it. So management aims for efficiency, short-term goals, stability.
Uh-huh. While leadership aims for long-term growth, maybe even transformative change. But here's the key insight, I think. Effective managers absolutely need leadership skills. You have to motivate your team. And successful leaders, they often need strong management abilities to actually execute their vision, make it happen.
So they're not mutually exclusive at all?
Not at all. They're deeply complementary. You really need both.
That makes a lot more sense than just seeing them as separate boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so whether you're mostly managing or mostly leading, your decisions matter hugely. And our sources talk about two really interesting different ways to make them, scientific and intuitive thinking. Let's start with scientific. Mm-hmm. This is probably what many people think of first in business. Rational, data-driven.
We're all about the facts.
Exactly. Decisions based on facts, stats, quantifiable evidence. No room for, well, gut feelings alone. It relies on research, analysis, testing, rigor.
The advantages seem pretty obvious.
Yeah, accuracy, objectivity. It cuts down on errors and biases. You get measurable outcomes.
But there must be downsides.
Oh, yeah. It can be really time-consuming,
Yeah.
expensive sometimes, and maybe a bit inflexible, especially if things are moving fast.
Right.
Think about Sarah, our product manager again. If she's deciding on a totally new market entry, she'd be deep in scientific thinking. Market research reports, financial projections, competitor analysis.
Poring over the evidence.
Exactly. It's all about the proof.
Okay, so then, the flip side. Intuitive thinking. This is more about gut feeling. Instincts. That deep well of personal experience.
That's it. Focuses on perception, maybe emotions, making those rapid judgments.
Not just crunching numbers.
Right. And the big advantage here is speed. Much faster decision making.
Which is critical when things are uncertain or urgent.
Or when you just don't have all the data. Sometimes you can't wait for it.
But I mean, surely that's risky, especially for someone less experienced.
Absolutely. That's the big catch.
Yeah.
If you haven't built that mental database of experience, relying purely on intuition can lead you straight into bias. And it's hard to justify later, right? Without data.
Yeah, hard to explain why you just knew. Okay, so maybe Sarah's lead engineer, years of experience under their belt. They just sense a potential design flaw the initial tests didn't catch.
That's intuition in action, that experience paying off.
So the million-dollar question, which one's better?
And the answer is, it depends. The sources are clear. In the real world, it's rarely just one or the other.
You need a balance.
Exactly. Most decisions need a blend. Factors influencing it? Well, the scale of the decision, for one.
Bigger bets need more data.
Right. Urgency is another. An emergency might force your intuitive hand.
And experience level counts, too, you mentioned. Seasoned leaders often trust their gut more.
Or know when to trust it.
A crucial distinction. So the takeaway for you, the listener, is maybe next time you have a big decision, don't just live in the spreadsheet. Acknowledge the beta, absolutely, but also listen to your gut and consciously think about which approach needs to lead in that specific moment.
That's a really powerful way to frame it. Balancing both. Okay, so knowing how you decide is one piece, but how you guide your team through those decisions, that brings us straight into leadership styles.
Ah, yes, the different flavors of leadership.
Our sources lay out five key ones. And this is where it gets really interesting, I think, because you listening will probably recognize these, maybe from bosses you've had.
Or maybe even styles you've used yourself.
Totally. Mm-hmm. And choosing the right style. Well, that depends. On the task, the team, the company culture.
It's complicated.
It is. So, first up, autocratic leadership. This is pretty much the command and control model. Leader makes all decisions independently.
No consultation?
Nope. Employees are expected to follow instructions, period.
When does that actually work?
Well, sources suggest it can be suitable for, say, unskilled or very inexperienced teams who need clear direction. Or, and this is key in emergencies, crisis situations.
Makes sense. Need for speed and clarity.
Think of that factory supervisor dictating exact methods.
Yeah.
Or an incident commander at a fire. Very direct, very controlled.
But I imagine the downsides are significant outside of a crisis.
Oh, huge. Yes, it's fast for decision making. You get strong control.
Huh.
But employee morale can plummet. Engagement drops off a cliff because there's zero input.
Leads to higher turnover, absenteeism.
Exactly. And it totally stifles creativity and motivation long term. People feel like cogs.
Not ideal for most modern workplaces then.
Generally not. Okay, so from that rigidity, let's pivot to paternalistic leadership. Still authoritative, but different vibe.
How so?
The leader acts more like a benevolent parent. They prioritize employee welfare, treat the team like family.
Supportive guidance, that kind of thing.
Yeah. But they still hold the final authority.
Ah. So they make decisions for the team's perceived best interest.
Exactly. Even without necessarily asking them first.
What are the pros and cons there?
Well, on the plus side, it can really nurture employees.
Mm.
Build incredible loyalty and trust.
You can get a very tight-knit, dedicated team.
Definitely. But the negative? It can feel overly controlling, restrictive.
Right, reduce employee independence, their ability to think for themselves.
Potentially, yes.
Yeah.
It seems to work best in smaller organizations, maybe family businesses.
Or cultures where that kind of hierarchy and care is expected and valued.
Right. It builds loyalty, but the leader's word is final. It can feel limiting.
Okay, next.
Democratic leadership. Often seen as the sort of collaborative alternative.
The opposite of autocratic in many ways.
Pretty much. Here, the leader actively involves employees in making decisions, values their opinions.
Collaboration, teamwork, shared responsibility.
That's the core idea. The leader facilitates, gathers input, and the decision usually reflects the group's thinking.
The benefits seem clear. Higher morale, more motivation.
And often, genuinely better decisions because you get diverse perspectives.
But it can't be perfect. What's the catch?
Speed. It's definitely slower. Decision-making by committee can take time.
So, not great in an emergency.
Definitely not. This style really shines with skilled, experienced teams who can contribute meaningfully.
And in organizations focused on innovation, where you want those diverse viewpoints.
It really empowers teams, but yeah, you need the right team in the right situation for it to really work well.
Got it. What's next on the list?
Laissez-faire. Which, you know, literally means let them do.
Ah, the hands-off approach.
Totally hands-off. The leader gives almost complete autonomy to employees. Staff make decisions, manage their own work. Minimal supervision.
So the leader just provides resources if asked, basically trusts the team?
Pretty much entirely.
Wow. That sounds freeing, but also risky.
Both. It absolutely encourages creativity and innovation, gives people space.
Builds trust and responsibility within the team, I'd imagine.
For sure. But the drawbacks, well, they're significant too.
Like what?
Risk of poor coordination. If people aren't talking, things can go sideways.
Delays in decision making if no one steps up.
Exactly. This style demands highly motivated, self-starting, competent employees.
So good for maybe creative industries, advertising, design, teams of experts.
That's where you often see it. Places needing minimal oversight. It's built on trust.
But if that trust is misplaced or the team just isn't equipped.
Things can fall apart pretty quickly. Yeah.
Okay. One more style.
Yes. The final one. Situational leadership, which is maybe the most pragmatic.
Adapting to the circumstances.
Exactly. It recognizes no single style fits all. Yeah. The leader adjusts based on the situation.
What factors drive that adjustment?
Things like the nature of the task itself. Is it routine, complex, creative? Employee skills and motivation levels are huge. Are they experienced, eager, need support?
Organizational culture plays a role too, I assume.
Definitely. And time constraints. Urgency changes everything.
So Sarah, our product manager, she might use Democratic for planning.
Right. Brainstorming with the team.
But if a critical bug pops up just before launch,
she switches gears, becomes more autocratic, directive to fix the crisis fast.
That's situational leadership right there.
Precisely.
This sounds like the hardest one to actually do well.
I think it is, but maybe the most effective when done right.
The big advantage is that flexibility, that responsiveness, using the right approach for the right moment.
Making the leadership fit the context.
Yeah. The drawback, it demands incredibly high emotional intelligence from the leader. You have to accurately read the situation and the people.
Which is a skill in itself.
A huge one. And if it's applied inconsistently or without explaining why you're shifting styles.
Yeah. It could confuse employees. Leave them unsure of what to expect.
Exactly. So it demands a leader who can not only shift, but also communicate effectively about why they're shifting. A real masterclass in leadership.
Okay, so it's crystal clear. No magic bullet. No single best style.
Definitely not.
But what does dictate which style a leader should lean into? Our sources point to a few key factors.
Like organizational culture?
Yeah, huge one. Formal versus informal environments matter.
The nature of the task, too. Routine versus creative?
Absolutely. And employee skills. Experienced folks often want more autonomy. Newer staff might need more direction.
Makes sense. And the leader's own personality must play a part.
For sure. Someone naturally authoritative might lean autocratic more easily.
And the overall business context, like that crisis situation we mentioned.
Right. That often demands faster, more centralized decisions, pushing towards autocratic or directive styles, at least temporarily.
So thinking about your own workplace, listener, you can probably see these factors shaping the leadership you experience day to day.
It really makes you think about how adaptable leaders truly need to be.
That's a crucial point. The sources really imply a profound level of flexibility is often needed. The most successful leaders aren't just one type. They're fluid. They can shift based on the nuances of the team, the task, the environment.
It's not just about knowing the styles.
It's about having the foresight, the emotional intelligence to pick the right tool for the job, essentially.
And knowing how to use it effectively.
Exactly. Understanding this isn't just interesting. It's critical if you want to be effective in any organizational role. Applying it practically is where the real value lies.
Okay, great point. Let's try and tie all these threads together then. Some key takeaways for you from this deep dive. What does it all boil down to?
Let's summarize.
Okay, first, leadership and management. Related, yes, but distinct.
Oh.
Both absolutely crucial.
Check. Need both.
Second, effective decision making. It's usually a balance. Scientific analysis and intuition.
Finding that sweet spot.
Third, And this is maybe the biggest one. No single leadership style is universally best.
Context is king.
Absolutely. Good leaders adapt. They change their approach based on people, tasks, context.
Flexibility is key.
And finally, successful organizations really need both strong, efficient managers and inspiring, visionary leaders.
The full package.
Getting these nuances, that really is your shortcut to being well-informed. Seeing the bigger picture in any organization.
Whether you're leading it or just working within it.
What an insightful deep dive that was. Leadership, management. From the nitty-gritty of scientific thinking versus intuition.
To the whole spectrum of leadership styles, autocratic to laissez-faire and situational.
Yeah, we covered a lot of ground. We really hope this is giving you plenty to think about. And maybe apply. Whether you're leading a team like Sarah, managing a project, or just, you know, observing the dynamics where you work.
And maybe connecting these threads to the bigger picture. Here's something to chew on. In today's constantly changing world, is that ability to adapt your leadership style primarily a skill, something you can learn from a book? Or is it more fundamentally a mindset, a way of seeing the world and your role in it?
Interesting question. Skill versus mindset.
And think about this too. How might proactively developing both your scientific and your intuitive decision-making muscles make you not just a better manager, but actually a more inspiring leader?
Food for thought.
Something to mull over until our next deep dive.
Indeed. Thanks so much for joining us on the deep dive. We'll be back soon with another fascinating exploration.